We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Heatbeat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, here on our Twitch page, is my producer and co-founder, Brian Goins. Brian, what's up, man?
You guys know that there is going to be a brand new cereal box coming to a local Winn-Dixie store called Heroes.
Can it switch or play defense? We will get into that later. On the left of the screen, we have the producer of Hangover Time, our hit new post-game show that you can find on this Twitch channel after every single Heat game, our anime lover and Photoshopper, Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody?
Brass, it has been a minute since you've been on the pod.
It has. I mean, Alf's got me working overtime, Hangover Time.
Listen, Alf is Jeff Bezos of podcasting. He's overworking you. He's mistreating your labor. And I just want to let you know that me and the listeners appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Is this your way of letting us know that Alf is resigning? Because I know. Bezos stepped down today.
Oh, man, if Alf resigned, that would save us so much money. On the bottom left, you hear his voice, the great Jeremy Taché. Jeremy's doing a lot of things, including Swings and Misses, which is the number one Marlins podcast in the market, in the world. Do you have the best Marlins podcast in the world? I think
it's like the only Marlins podcast at this point.
That's why.
No, there's a whole bunch. But seriously, like I saw Barry say the other day, because I saw Craig Mish got a job at the Miami Herald. There's like only two outlets covering the Marlins.
Wait, he did? Oh, congrats, yeah. Mish.
So, yeah, Craig's doing some work with the Herald now, which is super exciting. And yeah, he's doing a podcast with them as well. So he's on the two. But there's the guys at Fish Stripes do a really good job with all their different podcasts. And then actually our guy Peter over in the UK has a great Marlins podcast, which
is
crazy.
Is that the same guy that's doing the Miami Heat UK show?
No, so it's two different guys. Yeah, it's two different guys, but they're friendly because of Twitter as well. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. And his is a blast. Like, I really enjoy listening to it. So,
do you know the story of why there's people in the UK that like Miami sports?
I have not actually gotten that explanation in
full. Is it Luol Deng?
It must be Luol Deng. That's the answer. Somebody asks me, I'm just going to respond that way and see.
Just like say it confidently.
Just going to say it with a straight face. Just, yeah, Luol Deng. Of course. Obviously. Yeah.
By the way, we got to congratulate Jeremy for his gig with Fox Sports Florida, which is just a round of applause. No one deserves it as much as you do. The television presence that you have, that you command, they couldn't have given it to a better guy that has worked really hard to get there. So congrats from our show, friend of the show, Jeremy. We are happy
it's
to see
you. It's actually going to be Bally Sports Florida pretty soon.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is.
Like
thank
the
you.
Gym? Like Bally's the gym?
No, like the casino.
So it's Bally's the casino, but that's the answer I've heard a lot as well. No, it's Bally's the casino. And yeah, it's going to be Bally's. I don't think it does.
That was my first gym. The one, Brian, it was the one on, it was the one on Miller. And I think like 117th or something. I don't remember. Do
the
you know the one?
I know is Porky's. I think that's still around.
this is Kendall Lore. It was in front of the GameStop and the there's a Fresco y Mas there now. I think it formerly Publix.
How's Bally stock doing?
I don't know. Maybe that's next. Recipes to GameStop stock. All right. Well, we are here to talk Miami Heat and whether we're gonna sound the panic button or not, I don't really know. But we're gonna talk it through. So I want to start. And we're going to get to the news of the day with Myers Leonard and Tyler's cereal. Brian's going to fill us in on whatever the hell Tyler's doing with Cheerios or whatever the hell he's doing. But Fruit Hoops, excuse me. I want to get into the game yesterday. Brass, I know that you guys did a great job covering it last night on Hangover Time. And I know that you all aired out your frustrations. The thing I want to talk about, and maybe not so much some machinations of the game, because I think we kind of understand how that's gone. And it's kind of just the same stuff that's afflicted this team for the last two seasons. But I'd just rather have a bigger conversation about Tyler Hero, because whenever, you know, now that they're healthy and they start losing, you know, he's the guy right now that's catching the strays. He's the guy, well, why didn't we trade for Harden? You know, we could, why do we have to keep him? He's getting switched on to Gordon Hayward and he's getting absolutely smoked. And I kind of feel like the conversation around him has no nuance. Like he's right. A good player. He's a good pull-up mid-range shooter. He's a good pick-and-roll scorer. His three-point shooting hasn't been there, but I feel like you kind of expect that to get there. The defense is eh, but I don't know. Like, you've seen the fan reaction. I think it's kind of unfair.
Yeah, yes and no, but I think you have to mix that with some of the reaction from other players that have really dropped off precipitously, and we look and we go, like, well, why didn't we move him sooner? When their stock was higher. Sorry, there's a lot of stock talk lately. But
the stonks.
But really, Kendrick Nunn, I mean, he, you know, finished second in rookie of the year. And look at him now. You know, he had a couple good games there, but it, you know, really wasn't that great. And I feel like there's a little bit of this with Tyler. I mean, there's been a lot of missed time as well. So it's hard to really get a good read on that, but I don't think it's unfair to look at that and go, he's an attractive piece to other teams. And his contract is quite a good one for his potential ceiling. So I still think that he is a totally reasonable piece to be moved. I mean, I'm not slandering him too much, but his 3-point shooting it definitely has dipped. He's active though. I'll give him that. You know, he's not out there standing around, but he's also not a good defender at all.
That's kind of how I feel about Strus. It's like, I'm not sure Strus is doing a lot. Like, Jeremy, you saw people on Twitter, like, look at Strus's defense. And I was like, I feel like Strus is doing a lot. I don't know if it's all good. I know that he's a get in the play guy, but yeah. I'm not really there with him yet defensively.
Well, I think when you're seeing that last night, it's because he came up with, I think, two or three loose balls that ultimately just sort of bounced his way. But it's because he's so active on the defensive end, whether he's a great defender or not. I mean, we don't obviously know any of that yet. And I mean, maybe he turns into one. It is the Miami Heat. But more than anything, it's cool seeing a guy with that much effort on the defensive end, especially when, like, again, he was someone that five or six games ago, people were literally calling him out by name as the reason if he's playing, that's why the team's losing.
Guilty.
And then last night, he's keeping the entire, you know, team floating.
Offensive
in the
first
half. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
So
that was
Tiff's
fun
in the chat saying that we dare slander Strus, because Tiff has been on.
Absolutely not.
Tiff has been on the Strus. Yes, Tiff has been on the Strus. And it's kind of weird because yesterday, like, Tyler played so badly, right? And it's not just the shooting wasn't there. It was like there was a specific play, not just the one dribble when he's wide open. And you're just like, come on, man. Like, you're a good shooter. Like, pull, come on, put that up. It was, you know, when the closeouts came, Like, right. So like Jimmy kind of penetrates and then the help comes and they help off of him. And Tyler gets the kick out and he's not comfortable shooting the ball because he's not shooting it well. Fine, whatever. He starts taking it to the rim, right? Attacking the guy in the closeout. And when that other helper comes off Bam, who's in the dunker spot, now Tyler's baseline, he's pressed up against the baseline. He doesn't really look at the rim for a floater or a pull up. So he basically dribbles the bow back out. So like any kind of progress that they made breaking down the defense is gone. And he's not that kind of passer. Like you saw Andre make a couple really, really nice passes to Bam in the pocket, get him active. Tyler's not doing that. And because I reference this because I saw Jack Alfonso tweet. He's like, if your guy's not shooting well, he's not a good defender. He's not a good passer. What is he really doing for you out there? And it's kind of reductive. And as part of it's a joke by Jack. But like there's a little bit of truth to that. Like Brass, like he has to be better. And I think that we are valid in criticizing him, but I think it goes too far. And I don't think we're always doing it for the right reason.
I think people are a little rough on him because we as Heat fans love talking about what acquisitions are out there and you know, who are we going to get and who are we going to trade? And he's going to be a piece. He's going to be one that goes. If we make a trade, Tyler is going to be a piece that goes. So
if it's a big trade.
What's that?
If it's a big trade.
Agreed. But what other trade? I mean, we only talk about
there's like
big
smaller,
trades.
More adjacent, you know, like, you know, if it's something for like Thaddeus Young or, you know, like if they go for, right, Brian, like if they're going to trade for PJ Tucker, Brian, like they're not going to have to give Tyler if they're going to go for one of those other like fringe rotation power forwards.
If they do, Riley's washed.
if they give Tyler for
I'm saying, like, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the big whales out there. And I think coming off of James Harden, and there are a lot of people who didn't want to let Tyler. I think it stupidly became, it's like, well, do you want, it's as simple as like, do you want Harden or do you want Tyler? And like, it was never about that. It was about so much more than that. I know that's how people discuss it, but I mean the reality was there was, you'd have to give up so much more than that to get someone like James Harden. I thought maybe that would be okay, but some people disagreed. So yeah, it's been pretty contentious, and I'm willing to give Tyler a little pass from last night because, you know, people having a close call with COVID like that. They might be a little shook for a couple of days, so we'll see. But tomorrow night, no excuse. Come on, Tyler, you got to show up.
It's not people, it's his girlfriend. And that's a report.
She had a false positive, so I think it was the Barry.
It was a close contact situation.
It's scary one way or another.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I just, on the Tyler thing, I think the way that we talk about him is so interesting, right? Because nobody breaks him down singularly as the player that he is contributing to the team. They break him down as the player that he could be and what could be contributing to the team. And that's a completely, and we've seen a number of players go through their entire Heat careers being that guy. And that never leads to anyone being satisfied with who they are as the player and the way they contribute until years later when they're gone, right? And then ultimately, you're like, oh man, that guy was a great piece. You know, we really missed him. For that matter, there was a little bit of that. If you remember at the beginning of last season when things weren't working immediately, they started 8-3 and then they went through a little bit of a stretch and Josh Richardson was playing his best basketball. And there were people on Twitter saying, oh, why'd you trade Josh to get Jimmy? What are we doing? Jimmy doesn't score. They're the same player and Jimmy's older. Come on. You know, so when you're looking at Hero and you're looking at the guy that he is for you on the floor, let's not forget, he's the one guy that missed a bunch of time because he was actually like hurt, right? It wasn't because of contact tracing. It wasn't because of actually dealing with COVID, which is obviously an injury and that's affecting your immune system. So Jimmy's coming back off that and performing great, but he's a veteran. He's 10 years older than Tyler. Tyler got hurt for what's really the first time in his career being like hurt in that type of way, having to miss time trying to come back, not being able to come back for multiple games in a row, warming up. And then you come back off that injury, mind you, right after most of Twitter saying, oh, look, that guy made the leap after the games against Philly. He made the leap. He's a contributor. He's one of the three best players on the team. He's above Goran at this point. It's Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler. We're good forever. And then he gets hurt. He comes back and he isn't perfect. And now everybody's frustrated that he wasn't traded. So I just think, we are kind of swinging back and forth. And this was the very first game that all of those guys were healthy and trying to figure out how to share the ball and what works since what the Magic game day one, you know, it's like, it's been that long. So I think it's, and again, this is more of a general don't press the panic button, but especially on Tyler. Tyler's 20 years old. He's in his second year. He had basically no off season, and and he had a great stretch of games. Those guys are going, guys like that are going to be inconsistent. The confidence is obviously not there right now. He'll have one great game. Confidence will be back. He'll have five great games in a row offensively. There are issues with his game, but he'll grow through those. And I just, that's the whole conversation around Harden or Beal or whoever it might be to begin with.
So a couple of things on that. One, to your point about the injuries, last year he got hurt with the boot, and he missed All-Star weekend. And when he came back, the season almost immediately got suspended.
Yep.
So he got hurt, didn't play forever, got back, and then the season got shut down. And it was like, okay, I think he played like two games, right? Like he really never got to get his footing back. Then the bubble happens. He has a great bubble. And as you said, almost no offseason, no summer league for him.
Yep.
No full training camp. And like, and I made this point with KZ as well. Like KZ didn't get a full summer league and Kendrick Nunn. Also, like, that's not fair to those guys because those are very important developmental like moments for you as a player, right? And it's also like, you know, you're the number one option on the summer league team. And that would have been a really, really great experience for him, kind of really intimate one-on-one coaching and help your game. So that's one thing with that I kind of feel for. The other thing is his salary is like dirt cheap. He's in contract for until he has a team option in 2022-2023 season for $5 million. So like, not only is he cheap for the production that you're getting, and Brian, we've talked about this before, how last season they really got a lot of production above their payroll, and Duncan's not going to be that next season. But Tyler, you're going to have this guy for $6 million contributing, you know, double digit points, really good shooting, really good playmaking. And I know that, you know, you're the cap guy. That is so incredibly valuable, not just to the Heat, but if you're trying to move him.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like anytime you have a rookie scale contract, that's why Bam, even for the stretch, has been amazing to have him play above his contract. Having a rookie salary on your team and him playing, outperforming his contract, it's helpful when you want to try to build around a team with like Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic's salary. Obviously, we would like to have a second whale kind of next to Jimmy right now. I think it would have been perfect had they, you know, gotten like, I think they could have really made a move for James Harden. It probably would have fit really nicely with their salary right now, especially with Bam's extension next season. I mean, obviously, you're paying a luxury tax next season, but it'd be worth it for a squad like that. And I think that's something that Riley's going to have to see if he can, you know, press to the market, because right now the team doesn't have a max salary slot to add a third piece to his current roster. That's going to be, you know, like one of those superstars that you think they could go after. I think Duncan definitely should remain on the team just because his cap hold's so low. He's going to meet the starting criteria next year. It's going to go up from like, I think a 2 point something starting cap hold to like almost five. But for a player like him, you want to keep him because you could still go over to cap, re-sign him, and you keep the asset, and you might move him for a future deal. Doesn't mean you have to keep him for four seasons if you re-sign him.
Which I think is important because they can re-sign him with the bird. And they're going to be able to sign. They have like about 17 million.
It'd be a lot easier to trade match salaries too. That's another issue. Like if the team's capped out, it's very hard to add an outside free agent once you reach the cap. The only way you could go over the cap is by re-signing your own bird rights players.
Hmm. Yeah. And I think that when we have the conversation about paying Duncan, not paying Duncan, I mean, that's, even if he's at $17, $18 million, that's a movable salary. So a contender will need that.
Absolutely.
Somebody will need that. Plus, he's a plus player.
Yeah, and plus you already have him committed for however many years he's going to be under contract for. It's, you know, that's more useful than him being a restricted free agent this summer if we're going to trade him now.
A team gets desperate. They want to keep their star. They have to make a trade, and that might be available. And that's kind of what you... I mean, we had this conversation with Chris Bosch as well. By the way, shout out to Curtis's Hero for gifting a tier one sub. We appreciate all the support. And while we have that brought up, I do want to mention, we talked about this on the pre-show, and we also mentioned it on Hangover Time, our new Patreon. You can sign up here at patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat, not MIA HeatBeat. That is a typo. I forgot to fix that. But it's at Miami HeatBeat. patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. And these are different tiers. I don't want to spend too much time on them because we've already talked about them, but I really do want to focus, like, the support that you guys give us allow us to do this as much and as close to full time as we can. And we really worked hard to kind of like find the best rewards for you guys to make sure that it's worth it. We don't want to offer something to you guys that's not worth it. So I know a lot of people have already signed up for our $10 tier, which means you can watch basketball games with us. We'll get on a Discord call or a Zoom call, whatever's more convenient for you guys. And we'll watch some Heat basketball together. You'll be on the call with some of your favorite Heat Beat personalities. We'll do that. $5 rotation player tier is also really popular. You're going to get access to a newsletter. Alf is going to write again. We have Alf the Great committing to write for our newsletter, and Christian and I, and you know, we're going to kind of get some stats for you guys, you know, kind of everything that you need to know in the beginning of the week for the Miami Heat, get you as informed as anything. You're also going to get discount on our merch, which is launching soon. Brian is working really hard on that. And of course, the Heat Beat Lifer tier, which is expensive. But, you know, as you saw, Twisted Tapioca debuted yesterday, kind of to show off how this tier works. You know, you pay $50 and you get to come on a Hangover Time or a Miami Heat Beat pregame show. We get a little segment with us. And listen, we hang out at back. Tapioca was kind of hanging out after the show. We talked. We shot the shit. It was a lot of fun.
You're paying for a backstage pass is what you're paying for.
Essentially, yeah. You know, and, you know, you pay our rent. that's important in these tough times. So if you can, and we even have, you know, for any support here on Twitch or on that. And if you're on Twitch and if you're a tier one sub, we're going to find a way to honor your tier one sub with the newsletter and with some of the Patreon stuff. Cause you know, we want to grow the Twitch stuff too. And we have our emotes coming, and I know that that's going to be a lot of fun for you guys. So be on the lookout for what's new there. Let's talk about Duncan a little bit, because he went through that really awful stretch where he couldn't hit anything and he's come back and he's played well. And I made the joke because Strus was going off and Duncan still hit 4 of 7, and I was like, he's asserting rotational dominance. He's like, I can't lose to Max. We're homies, we're teammates, I can't have Max. Yeah, Brass, you're laughing, but like, they had to. He had to.
Yeah. The Duncan thing, it was just funny to see them both sort of go off at different points. They were like trying to one up each other. That was kind of
fun. Duncan was trying to save face. Yeah, let's be honest.
It's hilarious. True. But no, it's hilarious because remember we saw like on the sideline, Duncan's like wearing his mask and he looks like his jaw's been like taken away from him the entire time. He's just
you
like
saw it
mortified.
In real time.
Like, yeah, if I miss funny. Another 3-pointer, my job's taken.
It was funny, but you get some of these guys back and they don't need to do as much though.
Yeah,
so that's why Strus, you know, he's going to be a good piece because he can shoot if he's not asked to do much else. Just like Duncan. Duncan's a good piece.
Duncan does a lot.
He does, but again, the disconnect is, does he do enough to warrant the money that he is going to get? I think
Brian kind of highlighted why you're not just paying for the production, you're paying for a movable chunky contract of a good player. What you got, Jeremy?
Well, I think it's also just important to think like when Strus comes out and plays like that with the starters in particular, that was something that was exciting because what that allows you to do is mix and match Duncan and Strus a bit more to make sure that one of those guys is on the floor at all times and in a way that you don't normally see teams have multiple sort of snipers. And so if there's a given night where, hey, Duncan's just really not shooting the ball well, right? He's gotten his full, you know, couple times through the rotations and he's just not shooting the ball well. Well, you know what? Those late third quarter, early fourth quarter minutes before you go to your closing lineup, maybe those go to Strus instead. And there's something good about healthy competition on a team like this, right? Because the big thing, and everybody talking about energy or are they coasting or are they whatever, there also is something about knowing every single night, like, oh, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to play 30 minutes when there's only 8 men available, right? There is a little bit less of a sense of urgency in your own individual play. That's just as an athlete in general.
No, we've mentioned this.
Yeah,
like Gabe Vincent's playing and he's like, oh, if I play bad, what are they going to do?
What does it matter? Like, yeah, exactly. And so when you have that type of, now you have a night like last night, it's a perfect example where Max Strus, because Duncan gets in foul trouble, comes out and starts leading the offense. And
guns
all of
blazing.
A sudden, Duncan comes back and he's like, all right, I'll show you what I got. And that how great is that for your team, right? Because offensively, for the whole first half, they were basically buoyed by guys shooting the ball well from three. Two guys. That was it. And, you know, in the second half, that, you know, they continued to score in other types of ways. But it's just, I think that can only be an advantage for them to have more bodies like that. And like you guys mentioned, whether they decide to pay for Duncan in the long term or not, sort of irrelevant. That could be a valuable movable asset, or he could, you know, something people discount is play to the value of the contract to just play it all the way through. We always talk about moving contracts before they're done. He could just be an all-time great shooter and do these other things you're talking about, G, and be worth that contract going forward. So it's nice to have someone sort of waiting in the wings, though, should either that contract not go the right way. God forbid Duncan gets banged up for a couple games, and to see him do it with the starters is beneficial.
We have guys that can shoot the ball, no question. I think I would really like to have more people in the wings that are waiting to play defense, though.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's real issue with this team. This team was completely collapsing at the end of every quarter last night.
We have a lot. We have way too many specialists is what we have on the team.
But they did last year, too. That's not unlike what they had last year.
Yeah, but I think having like a piece like Jay Crowder at the four was you were able to have more combination in your lineups to have more of the more shooting with the two-way defense and scoring abilities. Because at the moment, like what last night's closing lineup, you had Iggy. And most of the time, he was just staying in the corner from three on offense.
He played well. No, I will not have any Andre slander. He was awesome last night.
I mean, and he had Jimmy, he had Bam, and they were basically doing most of the load on defense. And then he had
Tyler
and Duncan.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, you saw what we saw even in the playoffs. The teams were just trying to find a switch and get up on the pick and roll so they could, you know, take off the mismatch. And that's how Gordon Hayward went off in overtime.
Well, like I want to talk a little bit about the defense, because that's kind of what I've been like. I've been watching film and I've been looking at some numbers. Andre in particular was exceptional yesterday on both ends. And I know that they don't guard him, but he's shooting OK. And yesterday was not a good shooting night for him. But he makes plays on closeouts. When he attacks closeouts, he's finding the man. He's finding the pocket. Andre is a smart basketball player. Not unlike Draymond Green, even though he's not really a good shooter, he's a plus spacer because of other things that he does. Now, sometimes it doesn't go well. And if you don't have, he's a talent like riser. He's not helping a bunch of bad dudes get competent. But if you have talented guys on the team, he's going to find the guys that are moving and help. So I'm very pro Andre this season. But Brian, to your point about the defense, like we pile on Tyler, but a lot like Bam had the softest switches I've ever seen in my life. Like at that Malik Monk three that tied it. I mean, they do that inbound play and they switch, which is fine, but Bam has to play up on him because he needs to have clock and score awareness that if they score two, that's fine. But I can't let a guy that has not missed take a corner three. That's on Bam. Late contest, played off of him, and we baby him sometimes. We baby Bam because we love him and we want to be the protectors of our superstar, no ceiling, all that, and we believe it, but like that's on him. The other one, the other big play in overtime was when the Hornets were really fishing for Tyler on Hayward. So they have an initial screen to get Bam switched on. And then they have Tyler's man switch screen on Bam to get Tyler switched on to Gordon. Right. So they do this double screen thing. And then LaMelo, who flares into the corner, Bam switches that. And in that case, I'm like, well, LaMelo's not a good shooter, had made one three all day. And if he's going to catch the ball, he doesn't have a quick release. And I trust you to at least get a contest up than leaving Tyler on an island with Gordon Hayward. And I think that that's some unawareness of what's going on. That's a little bit of unpreparedness by Eric, I think. Like they clearly did not know what to do in those situations, or they did. And I don't like that decision, because if that's the decision, fine. But in the finals, when they were locked the fuck in, what they would do is Tyler would hard show on any of those actions and let Jimmy recover, or whoever's that on-ball defender on LeBron, recover and get back in front of him. It's not what they did. And I know that when you switch, it's complicated because it's like, do we switch off-ball stuff? Do we switch 4-5? Do we switch 2-3? Like, I know it's tough, but they just made the fucking finals doing it. So I don't really have a lot of room for excuses of they got confused. That was a dumbass play. They shouldn't have done that. Bam over switches like crazy. And Nikias has talked about this a lot in his Dunker Spot podcast, that he's switching for no damn reason. And then all of a sudden you have Duncan Robinson trying to box out a center, and that's why they're bleeding rebounds, right? So it's all kind of connected. And I think we kind of focus, well, Tyler couldn't stay in front of Gordon Hayward. Well, no shit, Tyler's not going to stay in front of Gordon. We know that, you know? So to me, that's like, Tyler's the easy one to pick on, but that was a systematic issue that has been festering with them a lot. And by the way, on that drive that Hayward took Tyler, Jimmy is ball watching that. Jimmy's kind of standing. Zeller's in the corner, which whatever. Zeller could take a three. Who the fuck cares? You could split the difference and play that passing lane. Fine. You're Jimmy Butler. When Gordon comes in, Gordon comes on Jimmy's side. Jimmy doesn't even dig into the ball, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get a hand in the lane. You're supposed to dig. You're supposed to come or slide it to help position. I tweeted the play out. Jimmy's just standing there and watches. So Tyler's like really left on a fucking island. And I get Jimmy's tired, but you just can't look at that and say, well, Tyler, that's not fair. Jeremy, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no, I think the thing that you said in the middle was of all of that was
it was long,
which is specific. No, it's sort of systemic, right? It's not any individual blame on any individual player.
Yes.
It's as a unit, they're not playing as sharp as they were when we were watching them in the bubble against the Celtics or the Lakers. Mind you, since then they've had, and this is not, by the way, excuse making of any kind.
George Sedano.
It's just to set up where things are now compared to where things were then. And if anything, where I close this would probably not be in terms of an excuse. But since the bubble that we saw, they lost their starting power forward, who was, whether he's that player forever is irrelevant. He was that player for that stretch.
And he sure fucking was.
Is no longer there, right? So we can argue whether or not he would have been that if they threw the $25 million one-year contract or the long-term deal at him. Jay Crowder was that version of Jay Crowder for that stretch, and that guy's no longer there. And that he did a lot for that basketball team. Then, on top of that, since then, they've started Myers Leonard, who we haven't talked about, but a guy who played the overwhelming majority of their games last season, starting at the center position, and at least was a threat to come into the rotation. Out for the year since January 9th, he's gone, and he was barely playing to begin with. So that's another rotation piece gone. Kendrick Nunn, who was a big rotation piece at the beginning, he's completely gone and out of the lineup because he's been outplayed by other players and isn't in the lineup anymore. But you have a relatively new team together, right? Iguodala playing with guys he's never played with before on the Heat, right? That his rotations were not meeting up with, right? You tried introducing Mo Harkless. You tried introducing KZ Akpala. Kelly Olynyk starting at the four with a group that he hasn't played with much. Tyler got hurt. Jimmy got COVID. Avery Bradley got COVID. Bam missed time. Goran Dragic has been out. He comes back last night. He doesn't look like himself. Like, and it's a Monday night with 2,000 fans with COVID sniffing dogs against the Charlotte Hornets. No, they're not going to play defense down the stretch the same way they played against the Lakers in the finals in the bubble. Like, I don't know how anybody could reasonably expect that level of expectation. And yet, the thing that the Heat pride themselves on and the thing that separates this franchise and the reason we can sit here on this podcast and expect that and get mad about it is because they've told us to expect that on the random Monday night against the Charlotte Hornets. And no that's excuses. Why fans are upset, because if you're marketing and you're talking about the hardest working, most, you know, best conditioned team, that's what you have to be down the stretch, even on those Monday nights against the Hornets. And so I don't think that there's any problem with what, like, I think last night was by far their worst loss of the season. And it's the only loss that I look at as like a genuinely bad loss because of all the other circumstances. Like, truly, it was just a bad loss.
That Detroit loss was bad, dude. I'm sorry.
It was bad. They
lost by 30 to like the worst team in the league.
It was over at the beginning of the game. This time,
I know that's what made it even worse.
No, but I just, those games, I let that go. It's a fluke. It's an aberration. This is one where you saw the issues down the stretch in the fourth quarter, the issues that scare you with this team defensively and offensively down the stretch. And they gave you all of the reasons to panic. And yet this is their first game together as a group all season since we've reset after their best player got sick and their other point guard got hurt and Goran Dragic missed time. I mean, literally every key contributor has missed some time. So
Jeremy, chat is screaming at you. Stop making excuses. Yep, it's BS.
It's
stop
not,
making excuses. Well, Jimmy, by the way, did not even meet with the media yesterday. Brass, zero accountability.
In a stare down with Duncan Robinson. Did you see?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
That video?
Yes, and then Jimmy yelled, "Give me the fucking ball." Do you remember that? Which I love, by the way, and I still love it.
Come on.
He yelled, he's like, "Give me the fucking ball. I got this shit."
Do you think that he's had a conversation with Pat Riley, like, "Hey, give me some players on this team that can actually"?
Why is he not on the phone with Bradley Beal right now? That's what I want to know. Why, when Jimmy sees that report today of The Athletic where Bradley Beal wants to stay in Washington, why is Jimmy not getting on the phone right now and say, "Brad, cut the shit"?
Yeah, he's not talking to the media until there's a move. I'm like,
look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping, and the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
What happened to Chad Ochocinco? I thought he had this in the bag.
Yeah, what happened to Chad? Chad gave us a bunch of promises that he didn't deliver on. Brian's right. We got to blame Chad. Yes, we have to, Alex, hold him accountable.
Get him on the pod.
I think we try. We're trying for Super Bowl. We're just tweeting at him, "Hey, come on the pod."
I'll join
it's
in.
It's basically
effort.
Jason Concepcion's way of getting people on NBA Desktop. We just go, "Come on,
just
desktop.
Come on the pod."
But Jeremy, like, everything you're saying there is it can be true ultimately.
Uh-huh. And it could also not be true.
Yeah.
This team could also not be true. Yeah, but it could
that shouldn't be the reason why they're like below an eighth seed right now. Like literally one of the worst teams in the league. They should still be a playoff team.
The guy
probably
that
half their team was hurt. I can't make excuses. I can't sit here in good faith to our audience.
The 30-11 squad had less talent than this team, even with eight players hurt.
That 30-11 squad, when they did the 30-11, would bop the shit out of this team right now. Like, I would be so fucking scared of Deion Waiters. He's coming down the court.
It's true.
Rodney. I'd be scared of James Johnson.
I would take
Luke any Babbitt. Of those power forwards. Remember when the Heat had like a million? I would take any of those right now.
I would take James Johnson back right now.
God, we didn't even talk about that Rodney slander from the Warriors the other night.
We mentioned it last pod.
Oh, I don't listen to the pod.
Yeah, you don't listen. We played the Draymond audio and everything, and Draymond talks with a lot of pauses in his time. Draymond paused, Jack would try to get in there, and it was just him and Draymond were stepping over each other. Yeah, it was great. It's fantastic radio. Chat, we're not complaining about Justice anymore. Listen, we've done a million Justice.
No, we want Justice back. I mean, come on. He's almost healthy. He's almost healthy.
He's almost ready.
Let's go. He'd be so good on this team.
I'll trade you Andre for Justice.
I love
Memphis.
Justice.
We'll give him
cheap as a free agent because there's no way Memphis is.
He's never coming back. He hates his team.
He was tweeting about Bam the other night. He loves Bam.
Oh, they're all friends. Hmm?
That's what I'm saying.
Israel.
Yeah, that's real.
Israel. Yeah, that's brotherhood. I forgot who wrote this. It might have been Ramil or it might have been Rohan who wrote about like the brotherhood between that 30 and 11 team.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Although Justice played no part of that 30 and 11 team.
I think it was Shandell.
He was there though.
No, he was there for the 11 and 30 team. He wasn't there for the.
You know what's funny is that, like,
being honest.
Oh, man.
I think he led the team in net rating that year, even despite
because being on of the losing part.
No, like, oh, yo, man. Like, because, like, he was good whenever it was just funny. Okay. So I want to talk about Myers a little bit. Is there anything else before we move on? Anything? The last thing I wanted to get to real quick, just a point of frustration for me with their offense. You know, Jimmy's getting Tyler to screen for him down the stretch, getting Malik Monk switched onto him. Jimmy, putting Malik on a plate, right? Like, just totally doing whatever he wanted, getting every bucket. Mm-hmm. Cody Zeller, as the help defender, is just not offering any resistance to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy put his damn shoulder into Cody Zeller and he flew, right? Yep. Jimmy's a strong dude. He's like Kawhi, like sneaky strong, right? You don't think of those, like, this is amazing.
Imagine when he gets those 12 pounds back. But go on.
Oh, can't wait. Yeah, this is, or maybe shouldn't. I don't know. He's pretty
playing really well.
Good. He's really good. And then they kind of went away from that, which again, and I'm never going to do the Doubt Eric Spoelstra show. He's the best coach in the league. I'm not doing that. I'm just curious as to Brian, you love Doubting Spo. You and Hot Take Harry on Twitter. Hot Take.
It's okay. Like, he doesn't have to be like super great like he was in the playoffs, but like, damn, like something
that was weird. Yesterday was weird. Yesterday, listen, some of those rotational issues, that shit was weird at the end of the game. The preparation I didn't feel was there, which whatever. That's fine. This is a weird COVID season. I'm not gonna hold him for that.
Well, it's like I'm sure Jeremy, you could probably name like one of your lesser Bruce Springsteen albums, right? I mean, or are they all just perfection to you?
For me,
yeah.
Right now,
yeah.
Yeah, there are lesser yeah. Springsteen albums.
So, I mean, there could be, this is what I suppose lesser Springsteen album years, right?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we'll call. Sure. It's 1997 Bruce Springsteen.
There you
that's
go.
What we'll say.
See?
Yeah.
See? Sure. It happens to everyone. It happens to the best of us.
I didn't get the going away from the guard screens because then when they started switching, and I tweeted this also, you can check out my timeline. Bam screens for Jimmy. Bam rolls. Cody Zeller sticks with him. And then they were switching that. And then Duncan's man on the wing would come help on Jimmy. And Duncan's man is splitting the difference, but he's in position that he can disrupt Jimmy's drive because they're not giving him the pull-up. They're giving him the pull-up, which Jimmy did not want to take. And they're kind of blocking the paint. And if Jimmy dishes to Duncan, they can go out and get like a pretty decent contest, even though Duncan has a quick release. And that to me is like, well, the way you fix that is by having a guard screen for you so you don't have to deal with those two guys. Because Cody Zeller is not going to be able to get a closeout, right? So if Cody's now the guy that has to split the difference and it's not Malik Monk, well, he's not going to get out there quick enough. And then Duncan can move and sidestep and do it. So like, that's to me, like, I look at that as one of the weird decisions. So I wonder why they went away from that.
I almost wonder if, and this is a dive that someone, smarter than me would have to take, but if there's less turnover variance in those plays, right? So if it's almost like in football, when you get a lead and then you just start running the ball on every play, even though the offense was humming when you were throwing the ball, and then all of a sudden you blow it because you forget how to play offense when you really need to get a couple of yards at the end of the game. And so I almost wonder if that's a decision of like, I know Jimmy's not going to turn over the ball on this play. And so even if we don't get points, that's okay. We'll eat 20 seconds and we know we won't turn it over, as opposed to a maybe, you know, with a guard screening, maybe they just turn the ball over more. And so there's a higher reward, but there's also higher risk. And in a sense, it's like running the ball, you know, on first and second down late in the game. And I know this is a basketball podcast,
disagree
but
with, like,
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is what I'm saying. I don't know.
No, like, I think you're generally right. And that's why I think at the end of clock situations, that's why guys ISO and take a pull up, because you just, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you go to the rim and don't get a call.
Right.
And you also don't want to put yourself in a position where you try to make a play and all of a sudden you get a turnover or you get fouled and you lose the ball. Like, I understand that. Like, the Jimmy 3 was just like, that was ridiculous. I mean, they cleared out the
that's
whole.
That's different. Yeah, that's different.
That was just.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not on Spo.
Yeah, no.
That's on Jimmy. No, but with the guard screens, it's just like, you know, when you get bunk on you at the top of the key, like, okay, like that.
Take advantage.
That's barbecue chicken, right? Mm-hmm. For Jimmy. So yeah, just wanted to point that out. It was frustrating me to no end. Chat says, Curtis's hero system, bring back Ikobo Diawara. Never. He's my mortal enemy.
What were you saying about Myers?
Let's get into Myers a little bit. Myers has a season-ending shoulder injury, and I wish this was hangover time so you could put up the video. of when it happened, Brass. Yeah. I'm sure they're gonna get some.
I'm sure we'll do it this week.
Yeah, tomorrow. And it was against the Wizards too, which they play the Wizards tomorrow.
That damn team.
Oh, who's Garrison Matthews is just, I'm so scared of him tomorrow. You thought Malik Monk was bad? Garrison Matthews saw that and goes, oh, hold my beer.
Dropping 40 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, listen, double team him off the jump at half court. Treat him like Lillard.
Yeah, I'm so scared. Double him than Bradley Beal for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Let Bradley Beal get his.
No, they need to win tomorrow because they need to show, they need to beat Bradley down. They need to demoralize Bradley and say, look, we're winners. You over here, bunch of losers.
He's had like four or five straight like Twitter like highlights of him putting his head down, and it still hasn't done
anything. It's so funny. Ridiculous. What is he doing?
It's ridiculous. But we listen. No, I forget the Beal thing. We need to win tomorrow because we suck right now. Like we need.
Oh yeah,
no,
they need to. Yeah,
We have two straight games.
Simple as that.
Oh yeah, no, nothing's gonna remedy this. Listen, if they, oh my god,
the irony that really remember because that's where the whole season went to hell. Right. It was they were playing the Wizards. And then that's when Jimmy and everybody ended up in their contact tracing bubble. And Myers suffered his injury. It's all the same game. It's January 9th. And we're all on Twitter screaming. There's a lot of COVID around this game. Maybe they shouldn't be playing it. And then they played it anyway. And look what happened.
We called that.
Then the organization is like, OK, yeah, I guess we'll play this game against Washington. It's like, yeah, you know what? We invented COVID sniffing dogs.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, we're going to trust them. We're going to trust them on that. As long as we get to Myers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to get to Myers, but I don't want to forget about the COVID.
I like the idea of just kicking it down the line all the way to the end of the show, but go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get to it tomorrow. By the way, the Heat are only three games up on the Wizards. So,
oh God.
In the win column, they're 1.5 games above the Wizards overall. So if the Heat gets swept by the Wizards here, they're not gonna do that. They're gonna win. They're gonna win both games. So we're gonna be hunky dory.
Sure. They would tank Jeremy the other day, and we had the number one pick.
I saw that.
That's not good.
I don't know if you've seen this Wizards offense, man. This Wizards offense match with our defense. Points. I'm not so sure.
I know. I'm scared. And with Beal and Westbrook. So Jeremy, fun for you. You're at the arena. You're working games. Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
Talk to us about the COVID sniffing dog. So our buddy, our homie, our mortal enemy, David Ramil of Locked On Sports, wrote for Forbes because he's big time about COVID sniffing dog. So check that out. Go to David's page and read his article. It's actually really good.
Yeah, it's great.
And David's reporting claims, well, not his reporting, the company, the Sniff, it's called, the COVID sniffing dog company is called Sniff, which is just excellent.
It's glorious.
Yeah, David reported that they said that their results with a 92% accuracy rate on COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy, walk us. So yesterday we had Christian kind of explain to us in the arena what happened, but it was very loud and he's not as professional as you. Listen, he's no JT. What are they doing?
So these COVID sniffing dogs are actually, it's pretty cool. I mean, what I don't understand is just the science behind dogs sniffing anything, to be quite frank with you. So I don't really understand how they can sniff for disease in general. Apparently if we could get Ron McGill on the show, that'd be huge. He could really explain these answers that we need. But essentially they have a number of fans that'll line up in a row. I think it's like 10 fans that'll line up in a row, and basically this dog walks by with his trainer holding the leash. His or her trainer, the dog, the really wonderful dog that I met on the first day was named Tina. And so, good girl. And so they took this dog, and basically you hold your hands at your side, and this dog kind of jumps up to sniff what's essentially like just the fingertips of your hand, pretty much. And the premise is that if the dog then stops and sits down, that means that they've sensed whatever they've been trained to sniff that would tell you, okay, this person.
So it's only COVID. So if you were to bring some entertainment into the arena,
they are trained specifically, from what I understand, they are trained.
Because chat's asking. Yeah,
no, from what I understand, although, God, I wouldn't recommend it with this few people in the arena in particular, but you know, whatever you guys want
to. This is not an endorsement.
This is not an endorsement of any kind, but I believe they are trained specifically just for COVID. And so, yeah, they walk up and they'll sniff on, on the tips of your hands. And basically they'll go for, I think they have 10 people that'll line up in a row, and they'll do that. And then they'll walk them back to the line and they get more people lined up and spaced out. And then they'll go again. And that's the next group that gets let through. for us in the media, they had yesterday, they had a dog just for us. So like when I walked through my security portion, I had to answer a list of questions. They had to take my temperature, and then a COVID sniffing dog came up and sniffed my hand and it was wonderful.
If the dog had sat,
I would have gone home.
Were you scared? Like, well, what if the dog sits?
You know,
Were you sure I'd rather know COVID free?
Yeah. I mean, I'm being so careful. Like I'm being so careful. I've been so careful I've gotten the antibodies test a couple of times. If anybody in my family is listening and I'm saying this out loud, they're going to be freaking out. They're going to, oh, you're going to get it tomorrow. But knock on wood, I haven't gotten COVID, and I've tried to be as careful as possible. And so I was pretty sure that I didn't have it. But yeah, there's always a chance that dog's going to sit down.
That dog sits.
Yeah, that's like, scary.
Are you sure? Tina? Yeah. Tina? Well, are you sure?
The irony is Tina is also my mother's name. So it's perfect. It's perfect. But look, there's also, it's 92%. So how I would handle it is I would go home. I'd do my job from home. I'd get a test the next morning and hope for the best. The way I look at this is, when I first saw it, just like everybody else, I did sort of, you know, chuckle at the concept. But to me, I look at it as the organization is trying to do everything that they think they can to then have fans, right? Like if they're going to have fans, they're taking all the precautions that they can think of. And, you know, one part of it is if you don't feel comfortable with the dog, and this was written in that article that you just mentioned,
yes,
you can opt out and you can go take a instant results test that'll come back in a half hour, 45 minutes. So
that's very inclusive.
You know,
that was actually like really, like, cool.
It's well thought out, right? It's well thought out by the organization on a number of different levels. And so, you know, for me, God, if I couldn't get a test, take advantage of the system, just buy a ticket to a game, opt out of the dog thing, get my test and move on. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a benefit. I felt safe. And I have most places these days, I do not feel safe whatsoever. And so to walk into the arena and really feel safer there than I felt pretty much anywhere was a bit of a surprise to me. And I've been there now twice with fans.
I don't feel safe anywhere, Jeremy.
They're doing a really good job of spacing people out, it seems, in there. They're wanting to ramp that number up as quickly as possible, it seems.
Yeah.
Regarding the dog thing, it's like when you talk about a healthy roster. Yeah. I hope that you're right. I hope that ends up being right, but this has not been going on that long. What concerns me is every time I click a link. And that was a very nice article, very soothing article, sure. But
thanks, David.
Right, very soothing. But what concerns me is every time I click a link, it's like, oh, okay, here's another link on a COVID sniffing dog. COVID sniffing dogs at the American Airlines Arena. It's like, oh, okay,
yeah.
It seems to be like the only place. And
ground zero and of I'm not, COVID sniffing pups.
Listen, I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna keep it real with you. I'm not really trusting any of the science that comes out of Florida.
That's fair.
So I guess time will tell.
The way that I'm choosing to look at it is just at the rest of the measures that they're taking. So Mask can't come off and they've spaced everybody out really well. And so even if these COVID sniffing dogs were not there, right? Like I would still feel comfortable. And so sure, it's an extra little assurance. And like,
It's something. It's not the only step they're taking. It's not like the courtside Karen.
Yeah.
Imagine, right.
Imagine it was that, right? Imagine it was the only thing that had to happen was you had to pass these dogs. Then no, I wouldn't be complimenting it at all, or I wouldn't think it was a good idea whatsoever.
It's a lot of responsibility for Tina.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of responsibility for Tina the dog.
So before we move off of this, because I get to Myers. Where are you in the game? Are you in the rooms to go lounge?
At the present moment, I'm sitting with everybody else. So the first couple games that I was there, I was sitting, at the top of the lower bowl. And then last night I was in the 300 level.
So you're just with the people. You're not like sitting with Cooper Moorhead and Will
Manson. So So Will, God, I don't know if Will's at the games or not, actually, but I haven't been over. So I don't go over to our production trucks. I don't go over to the set or anything. I haven't.
Is that
haven't
a COVID thing or they just don't want to see you? Think?
No. Yeah. I'm starting to think it's personal. No, it's a COVID thing. And
they're hazing them
over to any of that.
They're hazing you. Jeremy,
imagine it's not. Imagine they tell me 6 months ago, we were just messing with you. You could have gone over there. But yeah, no. That'd so they've told me that, understandably, there's no real need for me to go to the trucks or to the set because everything that I do is just on the laptop or on my phone. So I just set up in wherever the heat assigned me for that given night. And
you have the Wi-Fi password. Okay,
yep,
good to know. I think they change it every year, so I don't have it anymore. So
probably works a little better now.
You know that I asked George Sedano refused to give me the Wi-Fi password 1 year. I was like, George, what's the Wi-Fi password? George's like, I'm not giving you that. I'm responsible. I was like, come on, George. I was like, we're friends. I don't care. It's like,
that's great.
Yeah. Allegiance to the heat. Yeah. So that's funny. Okay. Let's get into Myers because Myers plays. He's played 29 minutes this season. They're -5 net rating in those 29 minutes. So not the worst on the team. Certainly not good. Myers had some sort of shoulder injury. I don't know if it was Anthem related. I don't know if it was basketball related. I don't know how Myers exactly got hurt, but Myers is out for the season with a shoulder with some shoulder surgery brass. And I, not that this affects their bottom line in any way, because like obviously he's not a rotation player for them. Wasn't even when he was healthy. It took, a COVID outbreak for them to consider playing him, right? It's just not really what they need. He won't remedy anything. I guess his big value, and I put value in air quotes, is, he's a $10 million contract that, would be added to salary when you make a move, and he's an expiring with the team option, which is appealing to teams, especially if you want to opt into that $10 million to move in the season.
Expiring, all right.
It sure is. So, I guess from an on-court perspective, they're not missing much, but obviously I don't really see it as affecting them in any way. I think if somebody was going to take that salary, it's not because they wanted a player, it's because they wanted numbers on a spreadsheet.
It just, now that we know he's not going to be here this season, it was a giant question mark. Like, why did this happen? It was just under 10 million. I did the math. I know I'm not usually the numbers guy, but he made $940,000 per point this season. just throwing that out there.
That's a lot.
It's pretty good. Oh. Pretty good for him. Pretty sweet. I also wonder,
how many points did he have?
Also, he had 10.
More than points. Mo Harkless.
10 points. Well, 9 in that first game.
Has Mo Harkless almost had 10
Tiff,
points
Tiff
yet?
Almost got a Myers jersey for the first game.
Maurice Harkless. Okay.
I want to preface all the Myers talk by saying that I and the rest of us, I assume, but I'm definitely speaking for myself, I don't wish ill on anybody. Like on this team,
These are guys.
Other teams, sure.
I wish ill on people all the time. I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm saying
truck. Jeremy wishes ill on.
Yeah, right.
no, I don't. That's why I don't go to the truck.
He doesn't want to. Yeah. So that sucks that he's got an injury that takes him out of it. It does. We have firsthand account of Myers is a good guy. With someone that he did for someone we know last year, he's a very giving person. I like Myers.
Very kind to the media.
Yeah. He's fun, man. I get
he's
it. Great. And he was a good piece on a team.
$10 million.
Right. And I feel like after last season, that was enough. But my thing, even with this injury, is like, well, he can't be traded yet anyway. And like we were just days from that moment where he could be traded.
2 days.
And now we find out he's out. So it's like, man, I'm questioning why was that really the plan? Did they like it? Did they really like on top of what he did on the court, which he did some good things on the court last year. Obviously, he was a big piece. He was a big piece of that.
He was certainly big, yeah,
for sure.
Sure, but he was a piece. He did a fine job.
He held the fort in the regular season at that position.
He absolutely did. But unless it was like a loyalty thing, and you're like, hey, we're gonna give you this. We thank you for the time. We're absolutely, the second this clock runs out, we're going to trade you, just so you know, and you can't say anything about it. Or if they were going to roll out a Vice Homestrong jersey that they needed a model for, you know, maybe
born for that.
But aside from that,
I hate those jerseys.
His only real highlight this year was again, another thing of him standing.
The meme, the video, yeah.
Yeah.
Catch it on Hangover Time tomorrow, after the game.
Yeah, it's super frustrating.
Oh, Well, I mean, like, Brass, like, honestly, like, you know, that colors a lot of the fans' relationship with Myers now, for better or for worse.
Colors?
You
know, I mean, whatever. Go on.
Yeah, it certainly informs the fans' relationship with him in ways that, you know, for better or for worse, a lot of fans, and I've been on the record saying I don't really like what he did, and I understand why he did it. I also have certain feelings about kind of the institutions that, you know, he, you know, wants to protect and defend, which it's difference in ideas, whatever, totally respect that. But I think that, you know, his tenure with the Heat, certainly over. I don't think he'll be back next season, and he's not going to play. So, you know, the Myers-Leonard era is defined by, you know, standing video games and starting next to Bam for 50 games and looking okay.
Right. Well, I mean, and hindsight's 20/20, right? But I don't understand, from a roster construction standpoint, why they decided to give him $10 million.
I think Brian could probably answer, because Brian, like, you obviously know a lot about the cap, especially more than me, but like, that the money that they gave him was money that it didn't prevent them from spending it elsewhere, correct?
We had Albert Nahmad on the pod. Basically, he gave him the money because they could.
Right. They couldn't use it on anybody else because of the cap holds.
The only other contracts they could have given out were minimum contracts, the mid-level exception, what they decided to split between Avery Bradley and Mo Harkless, and then they had the biannual, which they still have. Besides re-signing Goran Dragic, the only other thing they could do with that cap space, once they decided that they wanted to re-sign Goran, was re-sign their own free agents. And that's why they tried to re-sign. Looked like they tried to re-sign DJJ, and he wanted the years.
It was a years thing.
Quickly from him.
They were
waiting out for a while to see if Jay would come back, and he didn't want to come back because he wanted the years. And it seemed like Myers signed instantly because what her team was going to give him that contract?
Solomon.
I'd prefer Solomon Hill over Myers Leonard. Solomon Hill would be a rotation player, not only because he's friend of the show, Solomon Hill.
We could have gotten Hill. We could have gotten Beasley. We could have gotten Chalmers, man.
Like, bring the Bam back together.
What are we doing?
So something that's going to be interesting, and this actually is material. The Heat are going to get a disabled player exception. That's about $4.7 million plus the $3.6 biannual. So they're actually going to have some ammunition in the buyout.
That's market. Probably create some roster space if they want to use any of those.
Chris Silva.
Did that now, though, right? I would think that's why we're finding out that Myers is getting surgery now, so that they can apply for that, all of the trades are available, right? So they have that exemption to work in. So maybe Myers doesn't even really need to be getting it right now, and he's helping out the team by going this far, right?
A Beno Udri situation?
Not for whatever, but like, we don't know. Maybe it's, hey, we gave you $9 million. You're going to get surgery.
Help us out. You're still getting paid, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one thing that, look, we can, you know, we can have also, I could talk till I'm blue in the face about the anthem and the nuances of all of that. But in moving past that and just talking about what this guy was like for the organization, like, seemingly every single player on the team loves the guy. And seemingly, he's done nothing but like respect everything that we as fans love about the whole culture. And remember, he's the one that was getting up with Jimmy at 3 a.m. during, you know, the summer last year, you know, back when we all were falling in love with that. So like,
Yeah, no question.
I hope that the way that Myers is remembered is not as like, I don't know. I just hope it's not in a negative light, because I think that, and here's where I'm showing my bias, because as someone who's been in the media and having to listen to press conferences at my job every day, you know, droning from Canes football players to the Heat, right? Across all of sports, by far the most entertaining soundbite, and wanted to be that for the media, because he knows, like, he would say that, he'd acknowledge that, like, I know how boring this is most of the time, so I'm trying to make it fun for you.
I want
to
lead the league in soundbites.
Right. And he did. And that, maybe that's part of it. And maybe that shows my bias toward him a little bit. But on that element, I hope that he's looked at in a more a positive light, at least toward what he felt for the organization. And there he is.
What is that? Is that Myers?
I will
pick it back up.
You're so quick.
That's wild, Brian.
Was that today?
Literally just got posted 23 minutes ago from Ellie. Incredible. Twitter.
Damn. By the way, Jeremy, Shmeet the Smolnik in our chat asks, has anyone ever actually talked until they were blue in the face?
Honestly, I've come close. I don't take a lot of breaths.
I don't think so.
I want to piggyback on what Jeremy was saying there and say that Myers clearly likes his team. He likes his squad. And I do think if the Miami Heat had a Patreon, he would definitely be the biggest donor.
$50 tier.
You're right.
Hey, Myers, by the way, if you want to get on the podcast, if you want to get on Hangover Time, listen, Myers Leonard, if you're listening, I know
he's listening.
Al.
He's not coming on the podcast.
Yeah, he's probably. Listen, Myers is on Twitch. We are on Twitch right now. We're on twitch.tv/MIHeatBeat. If you're a podcast listener, you know, you want to hop over to our Twitch, because we live stream every podcast pre and post game show. So check us out over there. But Myers, I know that you're on this platform. If you're somewhere in the chat, somewhere in the sea of chat users, you want to come on Hangover Time or the Heat Beat pregame show, you pull up, you listen, I'm pull up the picture. You're gonna go to patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. You're gonna click on that Heat Beat lifer tier, right? It's on the screen right now, Myers. You can see it. You click that, and then, you know, when we put out the schedule, you know, you can select on Patreon, I want to be on Hangover Time following Heat Wizards. And you will be with your old friend, Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Heat Twitter President Alf. And you will get to be on Hangover Time. Break
this
down the game.
On the wrong link, though.
This almost
you can play
sounds...
Drip Drop. Jeremy, are you familiar with the Drip Drop drinking game?
I'm actually not.
So our nickname for, well, not our nickname, Alex Moosebuy, Moose, nickname Tyler Hero, Drip Drop. I don't know why, and I'm here for it. Brass hates it. Brian, do you hate Drip Drop?
It's terrible.
Why do I hate it?
Where do you stand on Drip Drop?
I don't hate it. I mean, I haven't played it.
I like it.
I probably can't play it because I don't even drink
it. No, but like the name. How do you feel about the name?
I think it's decent.
It's a good name.
I think you guys could still keep it even if Tyler Hero gets traded.
No.
It'd be even better.
So we play a Drip Drop game where Moose just yells Drip Drop and we have to drink. And we sometimes do it for a subscription. Yeah, sometimes when chat's fun, we'll take shots with chat. Right, we make it an interactive drinking experience. So Myers, if you want a shotgun of beer, listen, Alex Solana's drinking Bud Light Clamato on stream. Maybe you can join us. Jeremy, that's disgusting. I don't know what Solana's doing.
What are you doing?
That's what working with 790 the Ticket does.
That's terrible.
It's awful. Bud Light Clamato. What? Why?
I can't understand why you would make the choice to get
it. He chose it. He went to the store and bought it.
Right. That's my point, is knowing that was a conscious choice. That's my problem.
I don't know why this organization made a conscious choice to give Myers $10 million or something.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance.
Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.